not enjoy fish.
Yeah. Well, now they got plenty of fish, hadn't got any bones at all. You can go to these cafes, and they're all filleted.
Yeah.
What's that guy? How you doing?
We didn't make contact.
Well, I was over here about an hour ago, but there wasn't nobody here. But some boy and girl was here. But I had to go back and do some work at the edge of town, and I had to go to game or two today. You know, I had that same little car I had yesterday.
Yeah.
Over there, the valves got tight on the thing. You know, they don't have no lock on them anymore. They are real hard to turn. And these companies expect those things not to goof up, but they do. Once in a while, now that old Plymouth here was bad about that. You remember old Great Plymouth?
Yeah.
Bad about that. Those things would turn themselves and tighten up, burn out. Burn out, too. And on these little old ramblers, do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yours didn't do it, did it?
No.
But listen here.
You've done everything else, though.
You've done everything else but that.
Yeah.
Boy, them little ramblers, I've had one. I don't want no more.
You remember what happened to that old, at the shell over here, old heron.
Heron.
Got a hold of that and took everything out and he couldn't get it back together again.
What was that in?
The gauges didn't work.
Yeah, I remember.
Didn't work.
It was the thing.
Well, I tell you, them rotten ramblers, they're screwballs.
Yeah.
And this car. Now, some man owned this thing over Green Cold Springs. And she said it didn't have 20,000 miles on it. And sometime a car sitting up, you know, will ruin it.
Yeah.
But that car don't drive like it's got 20,000 miles on it. It drives like it's got 120.
Yeah.
And I think they just told her that. But she still...
Well, you can tell, can't you?
Yeah, I can tell just by driving it. I can tell how loose it is all over. I can tell the way the seats is worn. I can tell the way that they, pedals is worn, you know, where the rubbers on your pedals are.
Yeah.
And also on the side there where your floor mat is.
Well, you know that old Alice Chalmers? I thought I was getting a good buy on that. And old Willie Chitty come over here one day, and he looked at it. Oh, he says, I'll borrow this. And he got to looking at it, and he pulled up one thing after another. He's a pretty good mechanic.
Yeah.
And that back end there, where it holds the lift, the thing had all worn, you know how a floor, you walk on it for 20 years, just wears thin? That metal had worn thin. And he just found one thing after another, you see, that I had never noticed.
Yeah. Well, things you wouldn't look for.
Yeah.
You know.
And I thought I was getting I didn't know.
Well, now, the universal went out on this car. It costs $40 for the universals in that old Rambler.
Yeah.
Because you don't pull them things out of like you do most cars. You got to disassemble that thing while it's under there. Now, you talking about a job? That's a job. You take that old Chrysler out here, that Oldsmobile 81. I'll have that universal joint out from under in 20 minutes. But not a Rambler. You got to put it together under there and take it apart. And whenever you start beating on those things, they swell up. Then you're in trouble. Old guy up there trying to kid me that day, he said, I had a shop one time, said, I had a press that you could just slide under that car and press them right under. So I said, Rambler place there, and I asked that man, I said, you ever heard of one of them presses
right
slide?
Back. I want to get a note for this girl.
All right. I said, you ever heard of a press that you can slide under that car? He said, heck no. I said, how do you get them out of there? Beat them out? He said, yeah. I said, that's the way I get them out, too.
Well, now, Buster, you see, that just shows you it's not just the big cars that's hard to handle. It's the make of the car.
Yeah, that is. That's right. Yeah, you take those Ramblers.
I never liked to ride in Ramblers in the first place.
Boy, my, it's one of them things of passion. Well, like we had before, the thing smoked so bad, and everybody trying to look at you might say, well, don't you jump that thing? Get off the road.
I don't really know what ever possessed me to buy to get that old black and red Rambler. I just don't know. We just, in a weak moment, we just got it.
Well, everybody makes mistakes. And she'll make money buy a Rambler.
Anytime.
Heck, I know I know people's got brand new Ramblers got trouble. There's one come through town, they had lemons all over it. You know, in 75, they had, they was doing some work out there. and they rerouted people all through town. You remember that day? Everybody's coming through town.
Yeah.
Well, there's one passed through there off of 75 and had lemons all over it. So this car is a lemon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it had lemons all over it. You know, drawed. Bowl of yellow lemons.
Well, we have some friends who buy one round right after the other.
Well, my brother bought a brand new another day. I mean, his son-in-law bought a brand new another day.
They've been driving around for years and years and years and just swear by it.
Well, some people get good service out of both. Well, my spirit pair likes Ramblers. And Tommy Nels, he bought one. Now, he's had a lot of trouble with his, too. Up there. A lot of trouble. But, like you say, a lot of people have a lot of trouble out of them. But you know, some people can drive one, make a car, and never have no trouble. Some people can drive a Ford.
Yes.
I can't drive a Ford. They just give too much trouble. Some people can drive them and get along good with them, you know it? At least they think they get along good with it. Some people that likes a Ford, I don't care how much trouble it gives them, they'll swear up and down that they got good service out of it. Now, you know, that's just natural for some people to say that.
Well, old Dufunny over there, does he get good service out of that little Rambler he drives 1,000 miles, 100,000 miles?
You mean the old Spear?
Yeah.
He don't have that anymore. He's got a Plymouth now. But he used to say up all the time what good service that thing gave.
Yes.
And he never did anything to it.
Yes.
And I did, I don't know how many jobs on it myself.
What did you do to it?
Well, I worked on the distributor. Worked on the old back axle like I did on yours. I know one time, one weekend there, we put a distributor in that thing, and it wasn't a week before he's up there telling somebody he that thing hadn't never been in the shop. And I told Jack, I said, Jack, I said, didn't you pull that distributor out of that thing last week? He said, you know, good one, I did. Why? I said, Spears up there told my boy, he said that thing hadn't had no work done on it in a year and a half. He said, well, he likes to say that.
Does
he? But that was a pretty good little old car.
Yeah.
That he had.
He went across the...
I know it. I know it. Well, that was exceptional. Good car that he had. You know, once in a while, you'll get a good one.
Well, I thought he was getting another one just like it.
Well, I thought so too, but he didn't. He got a Plymouth. If he liked it so well, why didn't he get another one?
Yes. They wouldn't trade right. They ought to trade with him, give him one to advertise it.
The way he was talking.
Yeah.
That's what I would think, too. Because he did talk in favor of Ramblers. I told him one day he's the only man ever I heard brag on one.
Let me tell you something. You know, not long ago when you saw me, I was all teed off on that inspection center.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of took up for it. You said they got wrecks off the road, yes, but they also aggravated everybody.
They still do. They still do.
Let me tell you what I did. Old Gorman Etheridge, he's that peg leg fella, hung around up there at the, one of those service stations, who drives a Cadillac. He's not rich. And he told me a friend of his over there at Trenton that was just a good old country fella. And he'd inspect your car, and if it wasn't right, he'd fix it. I went over that day, and it was the pleasantest trip I have had in a long time.
Hmm. Well, you take over at Palatka. That band over there is nice.
Is that right?
About the car business.
Yes. And I told him, I said to him, just everything you find, let me know, and I want you to fix it.
Did he run the inspection station himself?
Yes. And got a private garage.
Oh.
And then if you want him to, he'll fix your car. He had an old truck in there. The lights was all cattywampus.
Well, that ain't no news to me. I carry cars up there every day.
Yeah.
And find out what's wrong with them, bring them back and fix them, then carry them back again until they pass.
Yeah.
You know, carry one up every day. Carry one up there yesterday.
He
had one day before yesterday. I carry them every day, just about, you know.
Well,
what do you do, carry your cross with them?
Yeah.
Was anything wrong with it?
Not a thing.
It passed all right, eh?
Yes.
Hmm, that's good.
Well, it could have been plenty wrong with it.
Well, not necessarily.
You see, you got the brakes going.
Yeah. Now, I carried one up there yesterday, and that's the first car I've carried up there in quite a while. It just went right on through. Most of them, they find the brakes. Now, I carried a Oldsmobile up there the other day. It didn't pass. I had to do some work on it. Then I carried a Mustang up there, and they turned the brakes down on it.
Well, you don't care. You know, you want them to turn it down if it don't do right.
That's right.
But it's them little piddling things.
Well, now, I beg your pardon. That car cut up there yesterday, the tail tag light wasn't working. But I noticed that before I went up there because I checked it over before I left the garage, see? And I happened to notice that the tag light wasn't burning.
Yeah.
Which they would have turned it down on that, you know. And I just grounded it, and I noticed the bulb was exposed. In other words, it would be so bright. So I took some black paint and painted over the back side of it.
Yeah.
You know. And so it passed.
Yeah.
And I carried the Ms. Oberg's up there last week from the fire tower.
Yeah.
And the old front end was giving a little trouble to turn it down on it.
Yeah.
And the windshield wipers was bad.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
Uh-huh. Well, the only thing I do is run on uptown, get some windshield wiper blades and stick on it right there. Don't even come back to make it up sometimes. And fix it, then go on back out there and get it passed.
You don't have to make a trip.
Yeah.
Well, now, let me tell you, Buster, I haven't found any place where you can go in and they'll put your car on the rack and look it over and see what's wrong with it. Whether they can fix it all or not, they can still look at it. I went up to the gas well.
You mean before you go to the inspection
center? Anytime. Or mechanics. Where would I do that? Where could I go to do that? And say, put this up there and look around and see what you find. And if they can fix it, let them fix it. I went up there at the gas well, and that's the latest thing, and I kept hearing a clatter under there, like two dishpans hitting together. And I says, he serviced it. I says, there's noise under there. I wish you'd look under there. And when I came home, it done the same thing. Well, I was down here one day at Orange Hill, and he put it up there, and I got on there myself, and it just tailpipe, the strap had just rotted off. Now, he couldn't even find that.
Must be a new man on.
And the tailpipe was sagging several inches.
Hmm. Well, that wasn't hard to detect.
No, but he didn't detect it.
Yeah. Well, usually when he got an noise on the car, that's the very first thing I look for. You don't have dustpans on them anymore like you used to. And a tailpipe is the only thing that's that don't make a noise anymore. And it's usually just what you found, the old tail light, strap usually breaks and makes it hit. Or either somebody when they put a tailpipe on, they don't line it up and it hits the gas tank. Sometimes that happens too.
Yeah. Well, that's what that's doing, hitting the gas tank.
Yeah, hit the gas tank. Flops over that, is it? That's the first thing I look for, man. Is the noise on the car. But usually that's where it's at. There ain't nothing else on there that can make a noise. Do you know that?
I don't see how you get along without
a lift. I tell you, I sure need one. Well, I don't know. I've been so used to sliding on those things, have I? But it'd be a whole lot more convenient if I did have one.
Yeah.
More convenient.
Well, now I noticed up here, old Chicken Man, what's his name? At Orange Hill. Green.
I don't know what that man is. I never thought about it.
Green. He's a nice fella. he got that old rack where you gotta go around and push everything just right, you see, before you lift it.
Most all of them that way.
Yeah.
Well, the reason they have that is because then you can make it fit under any car.
Yes.
Now you take one car and put that under there, and it'll be free from anything under there.
Yeah.
Maybe you put it under another and hit that muffler,
yeah,
and gouge a hole right through it.
Yeah.
I had one old station wagon one time, didn't belong to me, and I carried it out there to Atkins to make it up, and he put that lift right up under that muffler.
Yeah.
And it run it. Pushed that muffler right up.
I've had the same thing happen.
Doggone right.
I've had the same thing happen. Yes.
Did he make like the muffler was already that way to start with? So I had to take it up and patch it.
They don't let on.
I had to put stuff around that muffler, asbestos, and then also put some tin around it, and then some strapping. It took me an hour and a half to fix that thing at my expense.
And it wasn't worth doing. You might as well have gone ahead and put a new one on there.
Yeah. Well, them mufflers cost $16. I couldn't afford to do that. After another man done ruined it, you know. But you'd have mufflers still on that car right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I talked to the woman who owned it this morning. She's the same one who owns that Ram I was talking about. Did I get up there?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to bring it down here and do a valve job on it next week.
I never have that luck.
Huh.
Never have that luck. If it's something like that patch just stays.
Well, sometimes you just push a hole in a muffler. If it's not in the very end of it,
yeah.
I can patch them. Heck yeah.
If it's not at the end of it,
yeah. Yeah, if it's right in the middle.
You patch mine.
Yeah.
You put that tin around it.
That's right, and then some strapping material, it'll hold it.
Yeah.
But now if it's right in the very end, the back end of it, where that pipe comes out, there's very little you can do about it, because it'll just rust on out. And again, you can't pack it there.
I went over to see old Jack Herring. I had seen him over at Mac Weaver's, he and his wife, and the barbering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them was in a good humor. Just everything pleased them. Well, that sounded fine. And I don't know. Mac told me where they lived, and he said, you ought to go over there. He got everything. Old Jack.
He got hogs, chicken,
garden,
dogs,
guinea pigs,
rabbits.
Well, sir, I went over there, and Jack was off somewhere. And it's late. She's there, so I didn't linger. But I went with Faye, and she showed us something out there. And she said, if you want to catch Jack, come Saturday. Well, one Saturday morning, he's gardening. And he also had Max said he'd had some experience with cattle out in the swamp. And I have had trouble out here getting anything to hold out in the swamp, a fence or a barrier of anything. And I thought, well, I get him come over here and sort of pointed out what to do. And you know what? It was early, 8 or 9 o'clock, somewhere along there, and he and his little wife was out there in the garden. Putting out stuff. I said, Jack, what sort of fertilizer is that? Why, he says, that's the very best. He says, that's pig fertilizer. And it smells so strong, you know. Well, I thought from that he'd pretty safe. I says, I told him what I told you. And he sort of straightened up and looked the other way and sort of talked up into the air. Just like he never had seen me before.
That's the way he does. He's awful touchy. And he's very sensitive. Extremely sensitive. And you must have evidently said something to kind of hurt his feelings or something.
I was bragging on him.
What did you say to him?
I said, Mac Weaver said that you had experience with cattle just like I told you. And I'm having trouble. I've had trouble out there.
He must have been mad at Mac at that particular time. You know?
Yeah.
Could have been. He's funny, that Jack is. He's funny. I've never seen anybody like him in my life. You know, he used to work for me. Man brought a truck in there one day and said he wanted 2 universal joints put in there. So me and Jack jumped on that thing and headed down. We put them things in there in 30 minutes, both of them. Put it back and ready to go. The man went across the street and bought, got him a bill over there and come back over there and said, how long before you boys be through? I said, we're through now. He said, that quick? Jack said, don't take us all day to do anything. He said, like, are you sure you put it in there? And the man left and old Bill Dixley got in the church and I told Jack, I said, Jack, didn't I tell you don't pay to work too fast? I said, now see, we put them things there so fast the man don't even think we put them in there. I said, it's kind of a question in his mind as to whether we even put them in there or not, doing it that fast. He said, you think I worked too fast on it? I said, yes, I believe it did. He started getting up his tools and put them in the tool box. And I could see right then he's mad, you know, he's kind of peeved. He said, "Will you give me a hammer this toolbox? What you gonna do, Jack? Put it in that damn car right there." I said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going home. Anybody don't like my kind of work?" Says, I don't work for them. So I give him a hand when I can put it in the trunk. I said, "Jack, where do they pay?" He said, "You know me a damn dime." That's what he said. "Anybody don't like my work?" Says, "They sure don't have to pay me for it." Jack, I didn't see Jack for 2 or 3 weeks. He's mad. One day I seen Jack, and I hollered at him, and he forgot about it. He was in a good humor.
Well, Jack, you and Jack already been buddies.
I know, but he gets mad at me once in a while. He kind of got peeved at me the other day a little bit. You know, his wife left him, you know.
No!
Yes, sir.
Well, she's too good for him.
And he come up there asking me if I knew where she's at. I said, "Jack, I don't know where she's at." I said, "You know more about her than I do. She belongs to you, don't belong to me." She says, "I believe you're an old snake knows where she's at." That's old Charles Burton, you know. I said, "Snake might know, but I said, I sure don't." I said, I doubt if he does. I said, "When did you see her last?" And he went down there, we was telling a whole lot of stuff. They had a big fight up there last Saturday night on the street, him and her. She left him, you know, and was gone. And she come back down there last Saturday to get her mama's check out of that mailbox out there, and Jack didn't like it. And they had a little scuffle up there in front of Myers' store, and they was kind of fist fighting there for, oh, Jack about drunk. I think she got the best of him. And after a while, she started putting that pocketbook on his head, and she got the best of him with that old pocketbook.
That wasn't nothing he could do.
Yeah, run, and he did. That's why I got everybody in town tickled, him running. He's always bragging about what a bad actor he is, and he started running, and he ran over there towards Mac Reavers.
Getting out of the way.
And I told two people, I said, "Well, he's going home to Daddy. He stayed down at Mac's all the time, you know." And I said, "He's going home to Papa." I said, "You know, the little kid gets scared." I said, "He's running for Papa."
But now him and Mac, is that right?
I know, they're big buddies.
Where did he find her? She's smart.
He found her down in Tampa. Down there around Ebo City, somewhere down in there.
Well, how she put up with him?
I don't know. He knew her whenever he was working on that road, whenever 75 went down towards Tampa.
Yeah.
That's when he met her. And I think he lived down there with her and her husband during his stay down there in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he about, I'd say, it's been close to a year ago. It has been about a year ago. It was 9 months ago anyway. She come into 75, and of course everybody in town didn't know that he had knew her before. But she told up there, we was one day, that she knew Jack in Tampa. He never did tell it, but she did. And she said she used to know Jack down there when they lived in Tampa, you know. And that she'd come back there to see how he's getting along. She had no car at that time. Pretty fair old car.
Yeah.
But she run the thing into a cop in Gainesville, and they took a driver's license, had to sell the car to pay her way out of jail.
Well, that's the reason, Mountains, what's his name? His wife. Mitchell Boyd's, what's his name?
Oh, Sugar Man?
Sugar Man. His wife had to take her to town.
Yeah.
To the hospital or something.
Well, Jack got on with an old axe handle out there or something and beat on her here the other day. I think she went to the doctor for that. Sugar Man's wife had to care. Cut her head up there. They had a little tattoo out at the house. That's the fool that one happened uptown there. He jumped on it 2 or 3 times lately.
Out at his house or your house?
At his house.
Out at his house. Oh, you mean that's the time she slipped in there to get the check out of the mailbox?
No, it was before that.
Yeah.
About a week before that.
Yeah.
This here happened last Saturday when she went out there to get the check out of the mailbox.
And then
when she's coming back to town,
yeah.
Wait a minute, she hadn't even got out there. She was just, he was coming into town, and she's fixing to go out there. And he asked where she's going. And then he tried to get her to go home with him, and she wouldn't go. I think that's when they went around in front of, the fight started around the back of the store, so they say.
back of the store.
Yeah, and then she'd run around the front of the store, and he'd come on around there, and the light started up again. They tell me she's pounding with her little pocketbook. Must have had rocks in it, mustn't she?
Well, she's peppery.
You doggone right she is.
She's got one eye.
Mm-hmm.
She rough. She talks rough. But she talks like a pretty good egg, you know, like she could do a lot of things.
Can.
And if anybody treated her right, now of course.
Anybody treated her right, she'd be all right.
Well, I wanted to talk to her, but you know, I couldn't, I didn't have, you see, you gotta be particular. If I'd seen her down on the downtown, I could have walked up and talked to her, couldn't I?
Yeah.
But I couldn't have gone out there and leaned up against the fence, because I didn't have any way of talking to her. And I never saw her in town, you see. I never saw her but one time, that was over at Mac Weaver's that time.
Hmm.
And they were just, everything pleased them.
That's been, how long ago, a couple of months ago?
Year.
A year ago?
Yes.
Well, now, she had just got here then,
yes.
And they were getting along fine. Everything was okay.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
I am too. They had hogs out there, and they were getting along good.
And he can't do it by himself.
No.
He can't.
And she couldn't either.
No.
It takes two of them.
Yes.
And they were both getting along fine.
Lord have mercy.
But I'll tell you right now, ain't nobody gonna get along with him.
Not that long at a time.
That long at a time, no sir. Nobody.
You gotta have a lot of patience.
Even his brothers and his mother and his daddy never did get along with him. None of his folks never did get along with him.
Who was his daddy?
Old man Henry Harrod. He used to live there long years ago.
He been dead a long time?
No, he's been dead about 10 years. Or maybe not quite that long.
Was Jack brought up around making up?
Well, he was brought up long years ago. They had a turpentine still there, and his daddy run it.
Oh.
Then they moved up in Georgia, and then they come back to Micanopy. And he's been there for the last, oh, good gosh, 30 years. But he's been making up all known for 45 years.
Well, now, you know, around them turpentine still, they could learn if they wanted to, or else they could just get potty. Yes, I've seen them go both ways on that. Now, where did Hilton, where did he get his sense, you know, education? And he knows that business pretty well, don't he?
Yeah, well, practical experience mostly. I don't think he ever went to school.
No, no. But
just through practical experience?
Just working at it.
Yeah.
I enjoy that pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
As much as he seems to know, keeps up all these plans, you know, Beanie Rogers and
people
like that.
Well, one thing about
it. Oh, Roberts couldn't do it. Robert Smith. And Roberts can do anything. He had to have Jack, I mean.
You're talking about Bernard Smith, aren't you? B.C.
Hilton.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Smith. You're talking about Robert Smith. Now, he's a real estate man.
Yeah, but he's got all that. He's got some right complicated machinery over there in the candy kitchen. Refrigeration.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it?
He couldn't do it. No, he had to get Jack to help him. You see, he'd get mixed up on the cycles and frequencies.
Well, he wasn't accustomed to those things. Whenever you work with something like that, you got to do it every day.
You take Roberts, he's hard-headed. He'll get into something and just keep at it, you know. And
just like beating his head against the wall there.
And he'll get it.
Yeah.
Most time he'll get it. But I've heard him say he'd had Hilton to help him.
Hmm.
You know this fella, Everett Smith?
He's doing well.
You know him well? You ever doing a work for him?
Yeah.
Talk to you
to death.
You learn anything from him?
No. Not too much. Yeah, old Everett's a talker. talk you to death.
Is he a pretty good egg?
Yeah.
Everybody like him?
Yeah. Oh, Larry's all right. He's a nice fella.
Well, you know, Willie Chitty was the first fella that spoke of Everett Smith. And I noticed every time he did, he'd smile. And then I noticed after that, out there, somebody would sort of mention Everett Smith, and they'd all smile.
Well, he's peculiar. He's kind of like Jack in a way. But do you know of anybody that's not peculiar?
Well, I got acquainted with him.
Mm-hmm. Everett?
Yes. Well, I didn't get acquainted with him. I talked to him. I said to Willie, would he talk to me? He says, all you've got to do is go up and say, hello, Everett, how are you? And he'll take it from there.
He will, usually. Because he don't know any strangers.
Yeah.
Everett's all right. He's peculiar, but like I say, everybody is peculiar in one sense or another. You know that?
Yeah.
Don't nobody have the same disposition.
Well, now, let me tell you, he's got an old watermelon truck over there. Old Dodge watermelon truck. I don't know what it is, you know, made back in the 50s. And it's got that slow, heavy gear. You can't stick them. You can't get stuck. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it a big truck?
Big truck.
Got the old grandma in the car.
Got the flat body on it, you know, just ready to go out there and go down the heap row and bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
Sand won't stick it, mud won't stick it, and it'll just keep on going. Now, he got one of those out there.
Hmm.
I went out there with a fella to look at it. It looks to me like some of those fellas, you see, you help some, no count, could get a hold of that. It's just as good as that was. Got a good heavy bed on it and make some money.
Probably could. During the watermelon season, when the people are using them and hauling watermelons, they need something like that.
And it never breaks down.
Huh?
That kind.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember that old truck. About an old 52, isn't it?
Oh, it's way back there.
Yeah, I remember that old truck. Well, they had an old 40.
Oh,
no, 56 truck, too.
They had
pickup
Ford.
One day. Yeah.
Truck. Now, they had a couple of trucks back in the Camp Lanning days.
Yeah. Well, they've always had. They used to do a lot of big farming whenever all them boys were growing up.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. There was three or four of them boys that worked on that farm out there, a big farm, at one time.
His daddy was a big farmer?
One of the best farmers in this country, old man Eddie Smith.
Yeah.
Back them days, all them woods out there had good farmers. And well, they had depots around there then.
Yeah.
And they'd load all that stuff on those sheds out there, you know, and ship them up the country.
Yeah.
And they had one at Mekinoga, two. One down there going towards the mill. They had one down there where that church is, you know. Then they had one down there where Ernest Denton lives. They called Denton Siding. Then they had one down at Southside, down at McIntosh. They used to have one out there right back of the old Chamberlain place at Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
Their biggest, well, it wasn't too big out there, but all them farmers out there used it.
Yeah.
Man, I remember my daddy had an old T model Ford, two of them, trucks. I was a little kid then, but I'd ride, he had truck drivers, you know, and they'd haul beans and all that stuff to them. Depots, you know, to ship out
and
everything.
And they had more than half, just a platform.
Yeah, just a flat.
A shelter, I guess.
Yeah, had a shelter.
Yes, that's all they
stop
had.
They'd load that stuff on.
They just had a long platform with a shelter with a roof on it.
Just like you used to have down here at Evanston.
Yeah, I never saw
they
that.
They used to do the same thing down at Evanston. You never see that one?
No, it wasn't before I got here.
They didn't take it down before you got here, did they?
They've still got it up at Santa Fe. They've got one.
I know it.
Same thing.
Well, they had them around just like that, except not quite as long.
Yeah, that's a long one up there.
Yeah.
That's up in that high-class country.
Yeah, I was up there last year whenever I got some squash up there the first of last season. They had a bunch of them out there, you know. asked them going to sell some of them. I said, go out there and get all you want. I see all them baskets out there, so get you one of them. Yeah. Dump it in your truck, car, whatever you want to do. Bring the basket back.
He's had that little pickup truck, Everett has. He said he'd had it and got 100 to 2,000 miles on it. And it goes way back, 1952 or 4.
Are you talking about that old green Chevrolet?
Yeah, the pickup.
Well, that's an old 54.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old 54 pickup. It's all right. He broke down one time down at Dunnell, and I took the wreck and went down there and got it and brought it back to make it over there.
Yeah.
No, I brought it back to Williston because a man had done some work on the old automatic transmission that went to the bed, and so I carried it over and left it over there.
Yeah.
For Everett.
Yeah.
Everett's all right. He's kind of peculiar. He's funny.
Yeah. But he's but everybody seems to like him.
Yeah.
Well, now let me tell you what he told me he did, Buster. I didn't ask him why he did it. He had that little pickup engine overhauled. And he got the stuff together somehow or other, the rings and the pistons and whatever you got. And you know Carl Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's that fella used to work with him down there? He stutters or can't understand
old
it too
Fred.
Well. Old Fred. He got old Fred to do that work for him. Now, can old Fred get those things straight?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He's good enough to do that?
Yeah.
He got some tools to work with?
I guess he had now. I know Carl Smith had some before that he used.
Well, Carl ain't in it. He ain't in with Carl now.
No, he isn't. He's probably got enough tools to do that kind of work there. Why, he just had it done recently?
I don't know how recently, but what we were doing, we were bitching about how much trouble it is, like I was just telling you, finding out what's wrong and one thing or another. And he just happened to mention. And he said that the head would bust on him. What would make the head bust? Crack or whatever it does.
They must not have put no antifreeze in it. Something gonna make them bust. Unless it runs hot.
Yeah.
Unless the radiator's bad and it gets hot and you pour the water in it, that's the only thing that can make one bust.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of on the tight side, you know. Too darn tight to put antifreeze in it, I imagine. And whenever it did, it probably just froze during the night.
Yeah.
Or either really stopped up and he didn't have it boiled out. And when it gets hot, and then somebody poured water in it, it'll bust at the filling station, too.
Well, now, where does he live? He not married.
No, he lives on the old home place.
Ratchet?
Yeah.
Well, it must be a sight. Back people at Batch, you know, don't keep it straight.
Mm.
You never been there?
It's been years since I've been out
yeah.
there. I've been intending to stop out there, but don't ever do it. But a man Batch, he's in bad shape.
Yeah.
I know. Old Jack, you know, used to batch a lot, you know. And that was one heck of a mess.
Mac Weaver don't keep what you'd call a...
Mm. And he ain't got nothing else to do.
Ain't got nothing else to do.
He hadn't got a, but he ain't got a clean dish in the house. Jack don't ever have, I doubt if I would either if I was batching. I know what I'd do if I was batching. I'd have paper plates. And I'd keep them wrapped up when I want a plate ice each and then get me one out and then dispose of it when I got through with it.
Yeah.
But then none of the dishwashing.
Yeah. If I was batching, I would ruin my stomach because I don't love to eat by myself. I'd go down to the Trade Winds or someplace and eat. Jack used to live with old Mac Weaver over there on that Junction Road.
Yeah.
So why didn't they keep it up? That was a good pair.
I know it. Well, good people don't stay together long.
No, that's right.
If they're two of a kind.
Yeah.
People, you know, bird of a feather flock together. But man is different. Whenever you get two people of the same nature,
yeah,
people, you've got a different story there altogether.
Yeah.
There's no coping at all.
Yeah.
They don't cope with each other because they're too much alike.
Yeah.
You take a person that's got a different idea from what you've got, and you sit down and talk.
Yeah.
It's interesting to talk to them. You sit down and
say,
that's right, yes sir, yeah, and they agree with everything you say.
Yeah.
That's why you say, that man ain't got no more sense than I got. Won't he?
Yeah.
Won't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if they'll argue a little bit and they go be on the opposite side of the fence, that's where Jack's always. He's always on the opposite side of the fence. That's when everybody thinks old Jack got good sense.
Yeah.
If you say one thing, he's going to say something else.
Yeah.
If you told him that pig fertilizes the best in the world, well, he'd probably turn right around and say, no, chicken's the best.
Yeah.
I'm at the garage there. I had a lot of trouble with him.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble. One day, I'll never forget a thing as long as I live. Two or three times it happened. One time there, we worked on something else. He did it wrong. I said, Jack, I said, you know, confession's good for the soul. I said, all you got to do is just say you're wrong. That's all you got to do. I said, you did it wrong. I said, admit it. Oh, no. No, hell no. No. I said, yeah. I said, you did it wrong. No, I did it right. I did it my way. I said, I know you did it your way, but you done it wrong. I said, either you are wrong or I'm wrong. He said, both of us are wrong. I said, both of us can't be wrong. I said, one of us is right and the other's wrong. I said, you might be right and I'm wrong in thinking this. But I said, well, he said, we're both wrong. And one day he had a Chrysler up there. And you know, you take on the left-hand side, you've got left-hand threads on that thing. You don't take them things off like this. You tighten them and take them off.
Yeah.
He jumped on that thing, was about to wring that thing off. I said, wait a minute, Jack. I said, hold it.
Yeah.
I said, you're tightening the thing. That's got left-hand threads. He said, I know it. Because I always tighten something before I loosen it.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you? I told you that before.
Yeah,
I said, oh, bull. Made me tired. Kind of perturbed me.
Yeah.
I said, bull. I said, now you don't have to say that. So I always tighten something before I loosen it. Well, I said, don't try it on the rest of them. I said, the rest of them, just go ahead and take them off. Save you a lot of trouble.
Good.
The rest of the four.
Oh, let me tell you, Buster, before you go, you wife at home?
Yeah, I'm fixing to go pretty quick.
You got to eat at home tonight.
Yeah. I told her about it. She said, go on out there. I said, I am. Just as soon as she started working again at night. It won't be too long now. But she's going to get her job steady every day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. She's got a new job coming up. She's been advancing quite a bit for the last year or two out there.
Well, she did well by going over there then.
Yes, sirree. At that Lightweight General, you can't step up. You know, in that Veterans Hospital, it's just like it is in the Army.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
If you get out there and work and show them that you don't mind work, they'll step you up. If
yeah.
you don't, you'll just stay one thing. And they rate you just like they do in the Army.
Yeah.
You on E1 or,
yeah.
or a B or
yeah.
a C. Now she's, let's see, a 4 right now.
And they've always
E4.
Got those ratings open. If
yes,
you
sir.
Can qualify
if
for
you
the
can
next
qualify,
one.
You can do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's done real well. She's made several steps since she's been over there. Ain't gonna make another go along. If she wants to go up in that particular part, I think it's in the intensive care. And if she goes to intensive care, I think she'll become a. Either 5 or 6. Of course, that intensive care you.
She's had that.
Yeah, she's had the training already over at the Lightweight General. And she had 7 years of recovery room training.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is almost the same thing as
yeah.
intensive care. And she might take recovery room, I don't know.
What's Louise Graham's boy's name?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. He lives right back of her.
Oh, back. Andrew?
Andrew. Andrew wouldn't talk to me, would he?
I doubt it. He'll talk nobody too much.
Yeah. He's done a lot of things I'd love to hear him talk about.
You mean like to hear him lie about it, don't you?
Yeah.
He can do that thing.
Yeah.
He was telling some old boy making up that day about it. If you went over to Green Cove Spring, they can make $600 a week. I don't know about what he said he was doing. He said they were doing something over there that no other part of the state has it. Something to do with this Cape Canaveral down here. Something they're digging out of the ground, you know, to make them missiles with. To fly them missiles.
Yeah.
But I noticed nobody didn't follow him over there. I heard him back there telling him George Wilson lived behind me to get ready and go up there Monday morning. He can make some money. George, no, I'll just stick with what I'm doing. They don't believe him, you know. He tells so many tales, you know.
Well, now, I want to hear him talk about his contacts with the law.
He can tell you about that.
Huh?
He don't tell you about that.
He'll tell you that they come in there and he told them to get off and things like that.
Well, he did that, but he ain't gonna tell you so.
He ain't?
Well, heck no.
You don't brag about that?
He wouldn't have no reason to want to tell you. No, he would talk about that. Like that. I have no idea, all he would.
But what would he tell me about?
He don't talk about much of anything. He's kind of a quiet guy. He don't talk too much.
He just acts.
Mm-hmm. He don't talk too much.
Can he take care of himself?
Yeah.
Nobody gonna run over him?
No, nobody gonna run over him.
And he don't need his mama to take his part?
No, he don't. No, he got that feast of blood in him, too. He can go and look after himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now she got it in her, too, hasn't she?
Yes, sir, we. Yeah, they ain't got to have nobody look after them. They look after themselves.
She's sort of like a cock that crows a little bit every now and then, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Rich Graham, has she settled down since she...
Yeah. Yeah, she settled down since she got married.
She don't have all that Western music?
No, well, they don't have it there in town anymore, you know. It kind of played out to a certain extent. You know how that stuff is.
Yeah.
Everybody in the whole country was coming there at one time.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, well, I think cold weather's what did it. When they had that cold weather, you know,
yeah.
People didn't like to go down there, you know, too much in cold weather.
Well, now, I went over there several times.
I did, too.
And I thought it was pretty nice.
It was. But people kind of just got tired of it, you know, temporarily. If they had cut that thing off, for I'd say 2 months, and let everybody get rested up, and then start that thing over again, they'd have been all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't down, what I mean, real bad.
Because you've got people that are talented all over this country. Now, I know some of the people over there close to Hawthorne, singing family, and people like that.
Yeah. Well, people from Lake Buckland and Trenton and all around, Cross City came over here, you know. They had a band from down here at the prison. Did you ever hear them?
No.
One of the best bands ever I heard. Prison Boys down here from Lowell.
Yeah.
Had one of the best bands up there. And after they quit playing, that's one thing that kind of hurt it.
Yeah.
2 or 3 of them got out, you know. Because they announced that night and said, well, we won't be coming back no more because we're getting out tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And they were good. One old boy used to sing all them songs old Johnny Cash used to sing, you know.
Yeah.
And he was just as good as old Johnny.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he sang a little better than Johnny. Johnny doesn't exactly have the best voice in the world.
No.
But it's just the way his style of singing is what carries him over.
Yeah.
You know? And his actions.
He's got a style.
He's got a style and he's got good action.
Yeah.
The way he twists and jerks and all that stuff. And then again, people feel sorry for him, too. But you know, he don't have the best voice in the world.
No.
You listen to him sometime, and his melody is not just exactly the best in the world. It ain't like Eddie Arnold's or some of them guys, you know, he's got a smooth voice. But he's good, I like him.
But Louise Graham is always into something sort of public spirited.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Always into something. Now, I remember I heard, I talked to her right smart, you know, just in a public way. And she said one time, that's when the Western music was going on, she said one time she was going to have those deputies over there to a barbecue. That they had done all the dirty work and nobody appreciated them.
I don't know. I never hear about them going over.
I didn't either. But you see, it's just because I didn't follow through on it. Could have.
I don't know. I never
did. Kept in touch with them.
I never did hear a thing on that.
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess I better run. What are we going to do about that old starter? Put one on it?
If you will.
All right. When you want to do it?
You want to take it with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do it this afternoon.
All right.
I'll hold on.
Uh-huh. It sure is a good night for me to cook you a steak.
You know, I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay.
Wait until my wife starts working at night.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, I was just thinking.
And I'm going to tell you, I like
to do it tonight.
I like mine cooked done.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people like to say it's rare. My wife does it. I don't.
Right.
And I like mine kind of done.
I just wanted to remind you that I had it, and I can.
All right, I appreciate it too.
Okay.
We're gonna do it.
All right. Okay, baby, we'll see you then. All right.
Now that's the end of Buster's visit. Channel 2 right. Channel 2 right around 875, 880. This channel 2 right, and this is Thursday late, about dark, the 6th of May, 1971. And he doesn't come back until in the morning, Friday morning, after we left, went to the office and brought the car back. He didn't get back Thursday night like he said he would or might do. And this is 880, channel 1 right, and the end of Buster's visit, the surprise visit. And he came in the kitchen. After 6 months, it looks to me like three or four months anyhow. End of Buster's visit this Thursday at dark, the 6th of May, 1971.